Good evening. It's only fitting since tonight's meeting was about the Ryan resolution, which let's not be mistaken. This was about people don't like to hear what I have to say and are trying to silence it. Now, the contention is that I'm not from Dickinson, and so that my opinion on these issues should not be heard. If I'm not mistaken, Facebook is owned by somebody not from Dickinson, and they decide what everybody on Facebook sees and does not see. The newspaper is owned by someone not from Dickinson, and they decide what people see and do not see. The television is owned by someone not from Dickinson, and they decide what people see and do not see. Social media, the corporations, most of these big corporations here are owned by people not from Dickinson, and they decide the policy of this city. So to the contention that you have to be from Dickinson, virtually all of the information that controls all of our minds is from people not from Dickinson. So I find it interesting when somebody who pays sales taxes, who shops in this city, who takes their time to come to this city, is rudely rejected as you're not from Dickinson, which is very inhospitable, I have to say. So I'm coming here as a friend to warn about unpopular, very unpopular things, which are, why are they unpopular? We have to ask ourselves, because there's a reason why a lot of this is unpopular. Vladimir Ilyich Lenin said, some of us have heard of him, "We can and must write in a language which sows among the masses hate, revulsion, and scorn toward those who disagree with us." That was from Vladimir Lenin. And anybody who looks at Facebook and hears some of the comments from some of the people, and not a single one is wise and informed against myself, can easily determine that this hate, revulsion, and scorn stirred up by Pravda, the Dickinson press, this is the end result of all of this. For me, there's a story of Genghis Khan and his hawk. He was very thirsty one day and went to go get a drink, and his hawk came and knocked his cup out of his hand. And he got kind of angry, and he said, "Please do not do that again." Went back to go get a drink, and the hawk knocked his cup out again. Now he was very angry, and he said, "If you knock that cup out of my hand one more time, I am going to kill you." And the hawk did it one last time, and he cut off his hawk's head, and it was his favorite hunting hawk. Well, he found out later that upstream there was a poisonous snake, and his hawk was trying to help him. And so that was the reason why his hawk was trying to stop him, and he actually saved his life. So when a lot of people don't understand, when I'm coming up here, I know the things that I say, what is pop, you know, it sounds very jarring and very abrasive probably at times, but that's the way the truth works. The truth, it's better to be slapped with the truth than kissed with a lie. And so I understand, you know, people think a lot of this is unnecessary, but I can promise you, after studying some of the things that have happened around the world over the past century, it's all very relevant. Ms. Swenko did a very thorough overview of a lot of what the other people are doing, other cities. And I would have to remind us that the appeal to popular is a logical fallacy. Just because everybody else is doing something does not mean that we should do that as well. There's also the appeal to expert. Just because someone's an expert on something does not mean that needs to be what we need to be doing. What Mrs. Wenko did not once mention in her overview was what the founders of this nation said. What she did not once mention in this overview, that since 1900, we have had the biggest death machine in world history, which was communism, where 100 million were killed, and it started with limiting people's speech. The best antidote to tyranny is more speech. It is not by limiting speech. We're not protecting or defending anything here. So I've been banned on Facebook for 10 years. I actually happened to go back on, set up an account the other day, and I'm banned again, of course. I expect to be banned completely by Saturday. So the thing is, we're not recognizing that we are having our thinking controlled for us, and that should disturb us. Who appointed Facebook to control what we say, think, or hear? And yet Facebook is in all of our governments, or all of our cities, and they control what information we get. So when someone like me shows up, like Lenin said, we must sow hate, revulsion, and scorn toward those we disagree with. And that's what's happening with Facebook. The new Dickinson press is part of it, wittingly or unwittingly. And so we have to recognize television. They're all connected. And obviously, I think a lot of us recognize, are the problems in Dickinson unique to Dickinson? Is homelessness, illegal immigration, big debt, is that just Dickinson's problem? Or is that a problem that's in almost every big city in America? You know, if we're going to use common sense here, we have to recognize these problems exist everywhere. And, you know, growing up, I would highly recommend for those who have children, have them read detective stories. Tintin and Sherlock Holmes are two of the, probably the best that you're going to come across. What you're going to learn is that what things look like in the surface is not always all there is to it. There's sometimes a lot more to it. And you have to like dig deep into it. You have to search, pursue wisdom. You have to try to prove things. It takes a lot of critical thinking. And Ms. Swenko, her presentation demonstrates a decided lack of insight into history. I really highly doubt if she really understands any history at all. I'm not trying to attack her personally, but that presentation, the founders of America were very clear. If you don't have free speech, you have nothing. And she didn't show a remote recognition of that fact. And so, you know, as an attorney, our law system is badly broken. So I understand what I'm saying is offensive to a lot of people. It's offensive to the people who are behind all of this right now. In Sherlock Holmes, there was Moriarty. There's like one figure that was behind all the evil agendas. And I try to home in on this, and look what happens. There's an uproar. We get it from city officials. We get it from the Dickinson Press. We get it from uninformed people. When I was on Facebook, more than half of the people who criticized me were anonymous. I don't know who they are. Could be bots. People in Israel, I don't know. The other half were women, which God bless their opinions, but they were definitely emotional. And of the men that were left, two of them, one said, "We punch Nazis around here." So I don't know if that's the image that the city wants. I'm not a Nazi, by the way. And the other one said that we have a lot of guns. So basically, and I have the screenshots, so maybe the police department could be cognizant that threats of violence were labeled against me. I do not threaten others, and I don't expect to be threatened as well. And yet, this is the atmosphere that's being stirred up by the mayor's actions, by the Dickinson Press. You have created hatred towards me, whereas I haven't threatened anyone. I haven't threatened death. I haven't threatened injury to a single person. And yet, that's being threatened towards me. So who exactly is the hateful person here? You know, we have to actually be critical thinkers here. Mr. Dassinger, who came up with the memo, you know, I went back and did some research, and Mr. Dassinger has a little bit of a history. About February of this time last year, Mr. Dassinger was busy having someone arrested in freezing cold weather because he was saying that they lost their mental faculties because they left some of their personal property in the city parking lot. And that right there, I'm surprised you're actually still working, because that if someone disagrees with you and you have them arrested in freezing cold weather, that's just... if that's not tyranny, I really don't know what it is. And then now you're hard at work the following February. You're now trying to get a citizen arrested for saying things that you don't like. And you obviously don't like what I have to say, because you just cut the live stream last week for, or 2 weeks ago, for everybody to see. So, you know, tyranny starts off pretty mild, but it gets very, very out of control very, very quickly. So I just wanted to, this whole decorum, you know, that's a subjective term. And let's go over that memo. The memo is very, very subjective. And for those who don't know, objective is something that's true for all time and for all people and in all circumstances. And subjective is a truth that's true for somebody. So I might like blue. Well, you don't like blue. So I like blue. That's my truth. That's not your truth. And a lot of these are subjective. This is my opinion. This is what I think people should speak on. And so that's what's going to happen. Well, free speech was not for the government to decide who says what, it's for the citizens to decide who says what, because we are the ones that run the government. We're supposed to, at least. So the first clause, when it says members of the public who wish to speak must sign up, and I'm really happy that members expressed opposition to that, because that's very problematic. The point was made, which was very astute, was that if something happens spontaneously in the meeting, how are people going to be able to respond to that? And that was I completely concur with that. Sign up form, it looks like there was a lot of opposition to that. A commissioner may, now the commissioner may make a request to extend the time. So that's problematic, because, you know, if the commissioners, what that does is now it passes free speech into whether the commissioner likes or feels that this is pertinent. Well, what if all five commissioners up there, because we're all fallible humans, I'm fallible, you're fallible, none of us knows everything. We'll be generous. We'll say we all know 25% of all there is to know. Well, what if all five commissioners up there don't know or don't understand what somebody's saying, but it's the truth? So now they don't get to speak because the commissioners don't understand that. If I'm sitting up there and someone goes on a topic that maybe I don't understand, I need to go do better research, but I just say, oh, you know what? I understand that. Looks like it's not on a topic. We're going to cut you off. Well, now everybody in the city can't hear what this person has to say in one of the last forums for free speech that we have in America. And I hope that bill does go through because it was designed to stop silencing people who have things to say. I can't go on Twitter, Facebook, social media. I'm banned on purpose. The Dickinson Press, they'll say all kinds of things about me when my back is turned, but they won't write any of my letters. They won't publish. So they're going to deny you two sides. We as American citizens are being silenced, and this is a slow march into what just happened under communism, where citizens were silenced first. And you know, if a man is silenced, what's the next thing? That would be the NKVD knocking on your door late at night, and you're led away. And what can you do? You don't have free speech. You can't defend yourself. So the news, Pravda, the Dickinson Press, next day says, oh, Ryan was a hateful Nazi and he was shot in a concentration camp. And people are like, oh, yay, I'm so happy about that. That is what is on the horizon. That's what this is going to lead to. So I understand when you look at history and you see the patterns, they keep repeating themselves over thousands of years. They never stop. They never stop repeating themselves. And unfortunately, you know, this environment, what we've done is conditioned people to think that your education, college is brainwashing. There's nothing learned in college that can't be learned on our own in the library or on the internet with discipline, but few people have it. But if you move on to the other comments, may not interfere with the orderly conduct of the regular meeting. Sure, I agree. On Facebook, there's three things that are outlawed by free speech, which I didn't hear Ms. Wenko mention once. One, pornography. Two, profanity. She was wrong. Profanity is not allowed under the First Amendment. If you read the founders' words on that, they were very clear that you have to have virtue to have liberty. Virtue precludes profanity. It precludes pornography. It precludes racial slurs. None of that is allowed under the First Amendment. So the things that are not supposed to be allowed under the Constitution, she allows, and the things that are supposed to be allowed, she doesn't understand. You know, I think she's doing the best she can, and I think she's I read her overview on her website of her legal firm, and I mean, it's very impressive, but unfortunately our system is corrupt. So if you fit into it, unfortunately there's going to be a lot that you don't recognize. As Yoda said, you must unlearn what you have learned. So the other one is presentations and videos will not be allowed during the comment period. Okay, so the public pays for all of this equipment. So I don't see why everybody up there gets to commissioners get to use this and present their information, but we as the public can't use the devices that we paid for. I pay sales tax here, so we can't use that to present information that we want to present. And I mean, and since when does the government get to decide what we can and cannot say? That's not why none of you up there, I didn't see in the job description, we would like to elect you to tell people what they can and cannot say when they get up on public. No elected official is elected for that. And you know, Dickinson, let's say you have 30,000 people. If 29,999 people in Dickinson all said, we do not want to hear Ryan Massano speak, guess what? The First Amendment says Ryan Massano still gets to speak. That's the beauty of the First Amendment. That's why America is so powerful, is because we value the rights of the individual. We put the rights of the individual above the rights of powerful entities. It doesn't matter if you have money. It doesn't matter how powerful you are or how popular. The rights of the individual come first. And when we start to get away from that, everything that America was and is becoming is done. Because now you pass from the individual's law to ruler's law, where it's the laws only apply to the little people. They don't apply to the big people. Where the laws should, when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the Ten Commandments, that was the first time in human history where for once, the greatest and the least were all under one law. And we've gone far away from that in America, and we have to return to that. And right now, what I'm up here to do is to expose the people who are very powerful and who hate me passionately, who are behind all of this, so that we can have a better Dickinson. And what does that look like? It means you have no more illegal immigrants. Your crime rate goes down to a tenth of what it is today. It means your debt goes. I don't know how we have all this oil prosperity, and yet we're $50 million in debt. How does that happen? Where's all the money going? It seems like foolish decisions are being made. The last time I was up here, I talked about Tzadik properties. I think they're still here. If there was a memo that was made, Mr. Dassinger should have made a memo about we have human trafficking here in Dickinson. The newspaper said it. Adam Hendry, the CEO, I showed his favorite restaurants are in Tel Aviv and Jerusalem. I talked about it 2 weeks before the newspaper article came out. And then the newspaper says exactly what I'm saying. And they say, oh, he's a racist and a bigot and an anti-Semite. I showed you who's behind it and what they're up to. And then you say, oh, this doesn't relate to Dickinson. Has nothing to do with us here. Well, who does it have to deal with? You've got human trafficking going on. You've had one student on ESL in 2008. You now have 350. It has exploded. And this is just what happened in California, where I just came from. They're moving in cheap labor, and God bless the people who come here. I get it. They're trying to find better lives. I understand. I would do the same. If I was in Mexico, I'd jump over the Rio Grande too. I understand that. There's a better opportunity. But at the same time, there's laws for a reason. You cannot give up your culture and everything. Everything's going to fall to pieces. So there's illegal immigration going on, and I'm talking about it. But, oh, this has nothing to do with Dickinson. I don't hear anybody else getting up here and talking about it. The crime rate has got skyrocketed. Where is all this coming from? But, oh, Ryan's hateful, and, oh, it has nothing to do with Dickinson. I mean, anyone with, when your common sense was mentioned, okay, well, let's talk about common sense. Common sense means when you get, I'm sorry? Okay, I'm going to conclude my remarks. But anyways, I would highly advise, I appreciate the revisions, but the city would be in a much better position if you just completely took this memo and discarded it. You talked about going on much longer, 15 minutes at each council meeting. We can't sit there and listen to this. But I'm going to conclude two things. Both Franklin and Washington, what they had to say on free speech, which is worlds different from what Ms. Wenko had to say about free speech. So sorry. Okay, Franklin, freedom of speech is a principal pillar of a free government. When this support is taken away, the constitution of a free society is dissolved and the tyranny is erected on its ruins. Republics and limited monarchies derive their strength and vigor from a popular examination into the action of the magistrates. So we have the right to say what we wish without restrictions by overseers. Washington, if the freedom of speech is taken away, then dumb and silent we may be led like sheep to the slaughter. And that's why I'm sounding the warning, and I'm going to conclude by saying if a lot of these are passed, either A, they're going to be overthrown when this law is probably going to be passed, or B, people like me are going to file lawsuits and we will be getting arrested because civil disobedience is in the cards too. So you're going to cost the city money by putting a law into effect that didn't need to. And the last story I will tell, Daniel in the book of Daniel was very high up in the government, and he was hated intensely by the king's advisors. So when you hate somebody, what do? You go make up a law to go try and silence them. So the advisors went to the king and said, can you please make a law about not praying? So the king did. He made a law about not praying. And they said, we're sorry to tell you this, king, but your favorite advisor, Daniel, we looked in his window the other day, and, he's praying. So you have to punish him. So he was punished. He was thrown in a den of lions. He was actually preserved. But the same thing's happening. We're creating laws right now to target people we don't like. That's ultimately what's underneath all of this. There are people who don't like me. Fine. I mean, I said it. Plato said, no man is hated more than he who tells the truth. That's expected. Jesus and Socrates weren't killed for passing out roses. They were saying unpopular things. So I appreciate your efforts into this, but I would hope it would be seriously scrutinized and that the best decision would be made ultimately before God, which needs to be the number one arbiter. And then, the citizens, because if you put the citizens before God, it's not really a good look. Thank you.
Does anyone else want to come forward for comments not on the agenda?
I'm Tanya Jorgensen. I'm from Dickinson. I just wanted to say, since this is a matter of public record, that everybody seems to be ganging up on Mr. Masano. That is not true. He has his own social media platform where he's gone on there and made comments for racist groups to, what did he say, it'd take a lot of work to put the fear of God into me. That kind of feels like a threat on a forum like that. I do try and have sympathy for people like this. He clearly did not choose the racist incel life. It chose him, and he's doing the best that he can right now. But this just has no place in our city. And I did want to ask, is it required by law to live stream or put video of these meetings out? I get it's in the public's best interest because they like that. No. Is it required by law?
It is not.
Okay, thank you. You guys have a good evening.